Sri Advaitacharya was one of the main characters in Lord Chaitanya's early Leela, who was constantly being influenced by Yoga Maya to believe, this is the Lord I've called to come. For example, the Vaishnavas were very pained to see the godless situation of the world, and especially Navadvip Dham, which was so blessed by Brahma to be the marvelous city it was, so blessed by Lakshmi to be very fabulously wealthy, so blessed by Saraswati that even children of Navadvip Dham, due to the influence of that center and emporium of all culture and learning, could contend and defeat even great scholars from elsewhere. The problem was that other than the small handful of Vaishnavas under the shelter of Sri Advaitacharya and Srivas Thakur, the rest of the population was generally godless. And even the great Chakravartis and Bhattacharyas and teachers of the Bhagavatam would never mention Krishna Bhakti, and they would never chant the holy name of the Lord except maybe when bathing. So the Vaishnavas gathered in the house of Advaitacharya every day, because Advaitacharya, no matter what scripture he taught, emphasized only bhakti, devotion to Krishna, and chanting the Lord's holy name. So the Vaishnavas would gather there to take shelter and find solace from their godless surroundings. And before Vishwarup took sannyas, backing up a little bit, just for the continuation of the Leela, Vishwarup would be so absorbed in hearing Sri Advaitacharya's discourses, which spoke of nothing but Krishna and devotion to Krishna, that he would forget eating and sleeping or anything else. He wouldn't come home for lunch. So Mother Sachi would send little Nimai. And little Nimai, just young child, infant, naked, covered only with the dust from the streets in which he was playing, would enter the assembly of Advaitacharya to get Vishwarup. And whether those devotees were immersed in Krishna Katha or Krishna Kirtan or Krishna anything, when Nimai entered that assembly, everyone fell silent, just totally enchanted by the bewitching qualities of this infant, who would very casually walk over to Vishwarup and pull him by the chatter that Mother Sat is calling, it's time for lunch. And he would take Vishwarup out of the assembly, and everyone would be spellbound and hushed. Whether it was Krishna Kirtan or Krishna Katha, everything stopped when Nimai entered that assembly. And the devotees, after Vishwarup left with Nimai, would turn to Advaitacharya and say, who is that boy? And he would say, I don't know, but he's not ordinary. So as this continued, not the exact same pastimes, but a continuation, but a development of pastimes, the collective effect was that Advaitacharya began thinking more and more in his heart as he's worshipping his Shaligram Shila with Ganges water and Tulsi Manjaris, and sometimes sobbing like a child and sometimes roaring like a lion, calling out in a voice that reached even by Kunta, pleading, imploring the Lord to come down, he started to think that maybe the Lord has come down and he's living next door. He started thinking like that because he was becoming more and more enchanted with the form and the pastimes in the presence of Nimai. Whenever Nimai came before him, he was thinking, this is my Lord. Who else could evoke such attachment, such attraction, such love, that even the Krishna Kirtan, the Krishna Gita, would cease upon his appearance, and the devotees would feel the deepest satisfaction in his presence? But then when Nimai was out of sight, Advaitacharya, how can he be the Lord? This naked child playing in the streets? What has come over me to contemplate such thoughts? So Advaitacharya was very much torn and confused by this phenomena. So he thought, there's one way to find out for sure. I'll leave. I'll go back to Shantipur. If he is my Lord and I am his servant, he will call me and he will pull me by ropes of love to surrender to his lotus feet. So Advaitacharya left Navadvip Dham and returned to Shantipur. In the absence of Advaitacharya, the devotees took shelter of Srivas Thakur. And the kirtans in Srivas Angan were the pastimes of Vrindavan, the mellows of Braj were being reenacted, and the ecstasy of the devotees interacting in the mellows of Vrindavan was so intimate and so sweet and so exalted that no outsiders could be admitted. Because the ecstasy the devotees went through, sometimes anyway, the atheistic neighbors were very infuriated by the kirtans that were resounding from the house of Srivas Thakur. So they were complaining that the Lord sleeps within the heart, and if he's awakened by this loud chanting, he'll be enraged and he'll destroy the land. And what to speak of the Muslims? So a rumor began circulating around Navadvip Dham that the Muslim king had dispatched two boatloads of Muslim soldiers to come and arrest Srivas Thakur and all the devotees. Srivas Thakur, who was Narada Muni, was not so concerned with his own welfare, but being a very compassionate soul, was so many devotees taking shelter of him, he was concerned about the atrocities that could and actually did transpire in the hands of the Muslims. So as the rumor circulated more, he became very concerned, and he was worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev for the protection of the devotees. And while he was worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev, Lord Gauranga was just strolling along the bank of the Ganges, and he saw a herd of cows. Some little calves were running around with their tails up in the air, and some of the bulls were butting heads, and some of the cows were running, and some of them were chewing their cud. And seeing that herd of cows, his remembrance of Vrindavan and his identity of Krishna awakened. And he began calling out, "I am he! I am he!" And he ran to Srivast Thakur's house and tried to open the door, but it was locked. Srivast Thakur was worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev in rapt attention. And Lord Gauranga began banging on the door to the temple, "I am he! I am he!" And Srivast Thakur said, "Who's this disturbing my meditation?" And he saw this brilliant effulgence. And he turned, and within the effulgence, he could actually perceive what appeared to be the form of Nimai, but it was a forearm form of Vishnu. And the Lord told Srivast Thakur to have all your relatives come and serve me. And they performed Abhishek to the Lord. And then the Lord addressed Srivast Thakur so that all the family members and all the servants and maidservants could hear that you're afraid because of this rumor of the two boatloads of Muslim soldiers who are coming to capture us. And Lord Gauranga spoke, "If there's any truth to this rumor, then I will tell you what I will do. If that boat or those boats arrive on the shore in Navadvip Dam, I will be the first to get aboard. And I will go to the court of the king, and I will approach him, and we will see what kind of king remains seated on his throne in my presence. And even if he tries to evade me and act independently, I will tell him, 'O king, on the basis of what you've been informed, you have tried to stop the Sankirtan at Srivasangam, but I must inform you what is the truth and what is illusion. And if you want to understand, then gather together all your kazis and all your mulas and all your elephants and horses and animals and ministers and have your kazis and mullahs recite from the Holy Quran and see if you can inspire everyone with ecstatic love of God. And then I will capture a wild bull elephant, along with, I'll bring many regular elephants and horses and my men. And together with your elephants and your men and your animals, we will have Harinam Sankirtan. And we will see everyone become infused with ecstatic love for Krishna. Do you believe it's possible?" And then Lord Gauranga's view fell upon Srivast Thakur's famous 4-year-old niece, Narayani. And he told her, "Narayani, chant Krishna, Krishna." And little Narayani, 4-year-old girl, began chanting, "Krishna, Krishna, O Krishna, O Krishna." And she became immersed in such ecstatic love of God that tears just drenched her, sorry. And she began manifesting the very advanced stages of devotional ecstasy. And Lord Gauranga turned back to Srivas and said, "Are you still afraid of the two boatloads of Muslim soldiers?" And Srivast Thakur replied that, "My Lord, even at the time of the apocalypse, when everything is being destroyed by fire and flood, I simply take shelter of your holy name, and I never experience any fear. So what to speak of now that you're spending your days in my house?" And And now His Holiness Srila Radhanath Swami will explain to us the Vyas Puja and the Lord revealing His six-armed form to Lord Nityananda.
Hare Krishna. Another station break from the nectar of Barsana Maharaj. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was now developing his Sankirtan party, one devotee at a time. He manifested his supreme opulence to Murari Gupta. We have just heard how he manifested his beautiful forearm form, his opulences to Srivas Thakur and his family members and his servants and maidservants. But Lord Chaitanya, in his heart of hearts, was feeling deep separation from Lord Nityananda Prabhu. They had not yet met in this particular incarnation. Nityananda Prabhu was born in Ekachakra to Hadai Pandit. And Padmavati. And when he was about 12 years old, he left home on pilgrimage with a sannyasi, and that was just about the time when Nimai appeared in this world. Sri Nityananda Prabhu traveled for many years, approximately 20 years on pilgrimage to all holy places. And after this great journey, he resided in Vrindavan. Today we know that place as Nitai Ghat or Sringar Bhat. It is the place where Krishna decorated Srimati Radharani's hair during the Ras Leela. Sri Nityananda Prabhu resided there. And in the mood of a cowherd boy, he would play with other cowherd boys. He would herd cows. He would play games. He would play in River Yamuna. But in his heart of hearts, he was simply waiting for Lord Gauranga to begin his Sankirtan movement. In fact, Vrindavan Das Thakur describes how Lord Nityananda Prabhu never even preached because he did not feel appropriate until he received the order from his Lord and Master, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. This is a very important quality that great Vaishnavas imbibe. Who could be a more empowered preacher than Nityananda Prabhu? He's the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, the most merciful. It's not a matter of your qualifications. It's not a matter of how skilled you are at human relationships, or how much Shastra you know, or how brilliant your mind is to defeat others in argument. Even the person who possessed all that supremely did not preach without the blessings and the order of his master. This is how important it is to receive blessings, to actually be empowered by the Lord. It is not by our skills or by our knowledge. It is by the empowerment of the Lord which comes through the blessings of the great souls. And we have to actually be humble at heart to understand that. Because the trap of Maya, even for devotees, is that we think that I am the doer. And I can do it very well. And everyone agrees with me. But that is not what bhakti is about. It is about humbling oneself to receive the blessings from superiors and to give all credit to them. Nityananda Prabhu waited in Vrindavan for his Lord Vishwambar to come out of his Nimai Pandit Leela and enter into his Gauranga Mahaprabhu Leela as the king of Sankirtan. When within his heart he understood that Nimai Pandit had returned from Gaya after taking initiation from Ishwarapuri, who happened to be Nityananda Prabhu's godbrother, they were both disciples of Madhavendra Puri, then Nityananda Prabhu traveled by foot to Vrindavan to assist his Lord and Master in his mission. He hid secretly in the house of Nandanacharya. One day, Nimai Pandit surprised everyone. He was very grave, very serious, but very joyful. And he told his surrounding devotees, in 2 or 3 days, a very great personality is coming to Navadvip. And a day or so later, he sat with his devotees and told them, last night I had a dream. A chariot, a beautiful chariot, a chariot that can transport a person from the material world to the spiritual world. It had a flag with the picture of a palm tree on it. It stopped right in front of my house. And on that chariot, I looked out my door and I saw a very tall personality. He had tremendous beauty, beautiful lotus-like eyes. His eyes were red as if intoxicated. He had a blue dhoti, a blue turban. He was holding a kamandalu and an earring, a golden earring in his ear. This personality looked to be Lord Balaram himself. He repeated over and over again the same line, is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Nimai said, I asked him, oh, great personality, please tell me, who are you? And he answered, I am your brother. Tomorrow we will get to know one another. Then Nimai, he entered into the mood of Lord Balaram. And he started crying, Varuni, Varuni, someone get me Varuni. The devotees were amazed. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Srivas Thakur and Haridas Thakur, go to every home, every shop, every bathing ghat and search for this great personality. I feel in my heart that Lord Balaram has come to Navadvip. They searched. 9 hours later, Haridas Thakur and Srivas Thakur returned. They said, we have gone everywhere. We could not find him. There is no such personality. Lord Chaitanya smiled. And he said, the ways of Nityananda are very mysterious. Follow me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu led the devotees directly to the house of Sri Nandanacharya. Standing on the veranda was Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Chaitanya and his devotees, with great respect and humility, bow down before Nityananda. Nityananda just stood in ecstatic trance upon seeing Lord Gauranga. In his heart of hearts, he thought, here is my life. Here is my life. Nityananda Prabhu gazed without blinking upon the beautiful form of Gauranga, all of his senses engaged in lovingly serving the Lord. In his heart, he felt his tongue to be licking the body of the Lord. His eyes, filled with tears, were seeing the beautiful form of the Lord. His arms were embracing the Lord. His nose was smelling the sweet fragrance of the body of the Lord. Nityananda Prabhu became completely stunned in ecstasy. His limbs were absolutely motionless. Then Srivas Thakur, on Lord Chaitanya's inspiration, chanted a particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes Krishna and Balaram entering into the enchanting forest of Vrindavan. When Nityananda Prabhu heard that, he fainted. There were no symptoms of life in his body. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shouted to Srivas, recite, recite, go on reciting these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. And as he recited the wonderful glories of Krishna Balaram's Leelas, Nityananda Prabhu rose to his feet and roared in ecstasy. He fell to the ground, he got up again, he jumped up and down, he rolled like a gigantic mountain, tears were pouring from his eyes, he was laughing hysterically, he was dancing, he was jumping, the whole world was tilting by the power of his body. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees, they were very much afraid that he was just jumping and falling and rolling, that he would injure himself, but nobody could control him. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. And Nityananda Prabhu laid on the lap of Lord Chaitanya. And they both wept tears of ecstatic love as they first met in this incarnation. And one of the devotees was thinking, they have switched roles. Anantashesha has become humbled. Now Anantashesha is laying in the lap of Lord Vishnu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Nityananda Prabhu. He said, today is the most auspicious day, because with my eyes I am seeing pure devotional service personified. Anyone who worships you, Nityananda Prabhu, will attain pure devotional service to Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya asked, from which direction did you come? Nityananda Prabhu replied, I visited all the holy places throughout the lands, but all the temples were empty. I could not find Krishna anywhere. Wherever I went, I asked the people, where is Krishna? And they all told me the same, that Krishna is now residing in Sri Navadvip Dham. And he is giving pure unalloyed love of God to the most unqualified persons. Nityananda Prabhu said, when I heard that, he is delivering the most fallen, I have come to Sri Navadvip to take shelter of your lotus feet. It is described by Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur that anyone who sincerely, with faith, hears about this meeting between Gaur Nitai will never again take birth in this material world, will be immune from death, and will attain the Lord's eternal abode. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then took Nityananda Prabhu by the hand and escorted him to the house of Srivas Pandit. He asked Nityananda, he said, tomorrow is the Vyas Puja, the day of worshipping Veda Vyas. Where should we celebrate your Vyas Puja? Nityananda Prabhu looked at Srivas and said, in his house. Lord Chaitanya said to Srivas, you have big responsibility. You have to make all the arrangements for Vyas Puja celebration. Srivas smiled. He said, everything is already there. I have all the ingredients, I have all the vessels, I have all the puja paraphernalia, everything is there. All I require is the book with the specific rules and regulations of how to chant the mantras. I will be glad to have. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu went to Srivas Angam. Should I continue? Lord Chaitanya locked all the doors and locked all the windows. So only the most intimate devotees and the family members of Srivas were present. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu induced Nam Sankirtan. As the devotees were singing the holy names, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu embraced. They embraced in ecstatic love. And it was in this historical moment that Gaur Nitai first danced together. Perhaps the most beautiful sight that has ever manifested within creation is Gaur Nitai dancing in kirtan, in love of Godhead. As they were dancing spontaneously, each one was so attracted to the other. Each one was so much wanting to surrender to the other that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to grab Lord Nityananda's feet, but Lord Nityananda prevented him from doing so. And then Lord Nityananda Prabhu tried to grab Lord Chaitanya's feet, but Lord Chaitanya prevented him. They were both grabbing, but neither could touch each other's feet. They were rolling on the ground. As Lord Nityananda Prabhu's feet were touching the ground, it appeared that the earth was cracking. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing so gracefully. Sometimes he danced in such a way that he made a whole circle of his body and his feet touched his head. All the devotees were watching in a great euphoria of love. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so much immersed in love for Nityananda Prabhu, entered into his bhava of Balaram. He manifested Balaram Roop. He sat there on the throne of Vishnu and looked at Nityananda Prabhu and said, give me my plow, give me my club. And Nityananda Prabhu came, and to most people in the room, it was a very esoteric situation. Nityananda Prabhu, with nothing in his hand, just went like this. And Lord Chaitanya went like this. But those who were very, very elevated Vaishnavas, they saw that Nityananda Prabhu was giving his plow to Lord Chaitanya, who was holding it. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, receiving the plow from Nitai, started crying out, Varuni, Varuni, give me Varuni. Devotees began to fill vessels with Ganga water. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drinking that Ganga water, which to him was Varuni, and he was distributing it to all the devotees. They were all becoming intoxicated. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ended the kirtan and said, tomorrow we will celebrate Vyas Puja. Now that night, Nityananda Prabhu was very ecstatically restless because he just met his Lord. After over 30 years of waiting for the Lord's appearance, he was in ecstasy. He started screaming in the middle of the night. He broke his danda, he broke his kamandalu. And in the morning, Ramai Pandit, Srivas's brother, saw it and told Srivas, and Srivas said, go tell Lord Chaitanya, no one else can control him. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Srivasangam. And he said, let us go to bathe in the Ganga before we begin the ceremony. When they reached the Ganga, they happened to see huge, man-eating crocodiles swimming in the Ganga. Nityananda Prabhu became so ecstatic that immediately he jumped right in the water to swim to catch the crocodiles. The devotees were crying out, hi, hi, they couldn't stop him. Nothing could stop him. And as he was just on the verge of coming right to the crocodiles, the devotees were beside themselves. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nitai, come here. Immediately, Nitai became sober and returned to the bank of the Ganga. They went back into the temple room of Lord of Srivas and began the ceremony. At the culmination of the ceremony, Srivas Thakur had a beautiful garland and gave it to Nityananda Prabhu and said, now put the garland on Vyasadeva. Nityananda Prabhu was standing there, motionless. He was looking in all directions. And he said, it is so, it is so. Srivas said, Nityananda, it is now the auspicious time. Place the garland on Vyasadeva. He was looking around. It is so, it is so, it is so. Srivas turned to Lord Chaitanya. He said, Nityananda is not giving the garland to Vyasadeva. So Lord Chaitanya stood right before Nityananda Prabhu and gave him the order, put the garland on Vyasadeva. Nityananda Prabhu gazed with his beautiful lotus eyes on the golden form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and placed the garland on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's neck. You can say much louder than that. Upon offering the Lord his love in this extraordinary way, Lord Chaitanya reciprocated. He manifested for the pleasure of Nityananda Prabhu Sadbuja, an extraordinary six-arm form. In one hand he held the conch shell, on another hand he held the Sudarshan Chakra, in another hand he held the club, and in another hand he held a lotus flower, and with his two other hands he held the possessions of Lord Balaram. One held the mace and the other held the plow. When Sri Nityananda Prabhu saw this Sadbuja, he fell to the ground unconscious. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Sadbuja Swarup, ordered all the devotees to awaken Nityananda Prabhu to external consciousness by the very loud, enthusiastic, devotional chanting of the holy names. Krishna, Sigourney Tai danced together hour after hour after hour. How they were dancing, the ecstatic symptoms that were manifesting on their bodies, only Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda can understand. All of the devotees, they rejoiced. It was the same intimacy of love as Lakshman and Ram. The same reciprocation of intimacy as Krishna and Balaram. The devotees, just watching Gorni Tai dancing, were weeping tears. A shoreless ocean of tears. It was the fulfillment of their deepest desires. What is the deepest desire of a devotee? To see the Lord pleased. It's not that he has to be pleased with me. We just want to see him pleased. That is why there's never envy amongst Vaishnavas, true Vaishnavas. And this is the criteria by which we can understand how much we're really making spiritual advancement. That there's no jealousy in our hearts. Jealousy is the basest, most mundane, decrepit anartha. I was recently listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada on the first verse of Bhagavad Gita. And therein he's explaining the jealousy of Duryodhana toward the Pandavas. Srila Prabhupada therein said, this material world is a place of jealousy. And because of jealousy, no one can be happy. And then he defined what jealousy is. That when somebody has something and you don't want them to have it, if you want what that person has, or if even you can't get it, you don't want him to have it, that is jealousy. If you are not happy by seeing a person's good fortune, that is jealousy. If you're feeling a stirring, why does he have? Why does she have? Why not me? Srila Prabhupada explains that even great people, like the Pandavas, people are jealous toward. And because of this jealousy, there's wars, there's crime, there's hatred. It's the source of all suffering. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, you can understand my teaching as it is. Why? Because you are not envious. What is the platform above jealousy? When we do not have the selfish ambition to be the enjoyer. As long as you want to be the enjoyer, that ego will impel you to be jealous of others. But Krishna says, param drisvani vartate, there is a higher taste. The higher taste is bhakti, where our pleasure becomes Krishna's pleasure. When Krishna's happy, I'm happy. If Krishna's happy with another devotee, that brings me as much bliss as if he's happy with me. Because Krishna's happy. If you feel joy seeing Krishna giving special mercy to another, if you feel joy seeing another person successful, and getting special blessings or special empowerment, if you feel joy, Krishna will be unlimitedly pleased with you. Even if you don't have any of those qualities, even if you can't do anything right, if you feel joy seeing another person doing something great, Krishna will be pleased with you. He may even be more pleased with you than that person. We have to understand clearly what pleases Krishna. We have to transcend the materialistic platform. The competitive battle of egos that comprise the material world. We have to step aside from that maya and understand that the goal of life is to please Krishna, and Krishna is pleased when we are satisfied with His satisfaction. Krishna is pleased when we are joyful to see other people getting blessings, mercy, and good fortune. So this is why the devotees were in the greatest ecstasy. Because there was no one that Lord Chaitanya loved more than Nityananda Prabhu. And there was no one more that Nityananda Prabhu loved than Lord Chaitanya. And they were longing for each other's association and seeing the devotees watching that love between them, watching the joy that they were giving each other, gave the devotees the ultimate experience of happiness, and they rejoiced by loudly chanting the holy name. Hour after hour after hour after hour, Gaur Nitai was dancing together with all the Vaishnavas, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the sun was setting. And he announced, "It is now time for prasad. Bring the Mahaprasad of Vedavyas, and we will all honor that prasad." Meanwhile, Sachi Devi, she was humbly on the side watching the whole day's events. In her heart, the ecstasy of her love, she was feeling in her heart, "These are my two sons. Thus ends the narration of the darshan of Satbuja to Nityananda Prabhu. Meanwhile, Barsana Maharaj has already explained so beautifully how Advaita Prabhu wanted to test Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He spent years calling for the Lord to appear. In his heart of hearts, he knew he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But since he was responsible for him coming, he wanted to test to make sure that he was the Lord. So he went to Shantipur and didn't say anything to anyone. Lord Chaitanya told Ramai Pandit, who was the brother of Srivas, that go to Shantipur and give this message to Advaita, that the person that you fasted for, the person that you prayed for, the person that you cried for, has appeared within this world to fulfill your mission. And bring him here to see me. He's waiting. He will know exactly what my message means. Ramai Pandit asked, "How do I know where his house is in Shantipur?" Lord Chaitanya said, "You just go and you will find it." So Ramai Pandit arrived in Shantipur at Advaita Bhavan. Every year at Advaita Bhavan, Kavichandra Swami Maharaj feeds prasad to thousands and thousands and thousands of people on the auspicious day of Shantipur festival. So when Ramai Pandit came, Advaita Prabhu, he understood exactly Lord Chaitanya's lila. He knew why he came. And Ramai Pandit said, Lord Advaita Charya said to Ramai Pandit, "I know why you have come." He said, "But tell me, why have you come?" And Ramai Pandit said, "You already know why I came." He said, "Well, tell me, why have you come?" Ramai Pandit said, "I have a message from from Gauranga. He has told me to tell you that that person that you spent so many days fasting to bring to this earth. That person who you wept and cried and loudly chanted mantras and performed great austerities to bring to the earth, he has come. He has come to inaugurate the Nam Sankirtan movement. He is calling for you to worship him and bring all auspicious paraphernalia and bring your wife as well. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Advaitacharya, he was laughing, very, very much laughing. He said to his wife, prepare all the ingredients. Everyone in the house was weeping, hearing the news that Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, have appeared in the world. Advaita, profuse tears. His wife, Sita Thakurani, was weeping incessantly. And his little baby son, Achyutananda, was weeping incessantly. They were so happy. They were dancing and crying and in love. Then Advaita told Ramai Pandit that don't tell Lord Chaitanya that you even gave me this message. I'm going to hide. Don't tell him anything. So where do you think Advaitacharya went into hiding? At the house of Nandanacharya. Amazing. It was the hiding place. Lord Chaitanya hid there. Lord Nityananda Prabhu hid there. Advaitacharya hid there. But whenever anyone hid there, no one could find them. This is the Leela of the Lord. Now, if people were rational, that would be the first place to look. But nobody ever looked there. So Advaitacharya went with his wife, and Ramai Pandit came back to Srivasangam, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that I know where Nityananda Prabhu is. He is at Nanda Bhavan. He wants to test me again. Tell him to come immediately and worship me. When Advaitacharya got that news, he became ecstatic. He came with his wife. They offered their prostrated obeisances. Advaitacharya was weeping and crying. And as he began to offer the puja to the Lord, he saw before his eyes the fulfillment of his life's desire. He saw the form of Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, who descended to the world to reciprocate with his prayers, to shower mercy upon everyone. That was Advaitacharya's only desire in life, that all the suffering souls of this world could be happy forever in Krishna consciousness. And now Barsana Swami Maharaj will describe how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifests the most magnificent darshan of Lord Shiva.
One time a devotee of Lord Shiva who would travel around playing his drum and his horn arrived at the Lord's house singing the glories of Lord Shiva. In hearing the glories of Lord Shiva, Lord Gauranga entered into his mood, jumped on his back, and with long matted hair, assumed the very form of Lord Shiva, beating on the drum and playing on the horn of that singer of Lord Shiva's glories. And the singer became very ecstatic. And then, after dancing in great ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya dismounted from his shoulders and gave him alms. It was very illuminating how when Ramaya Pandit went to Shantipur to bring Advaita back, answering Sri Advaita's question about whether he is my Lord, and if he is, he will drag me back to Nadia by the ropes of love. And when Lord Gauranga revealed his divine opulences and glories before Sri Advaita's eyes to answer his challenge, the Lord made it unmistakably clear and put an end to that yoga maya intermittently covering his identity. When Sri Advaita saw the Lord decorated with Sri Vatsa and the Kastuba jewel, and Lakshmi Devi serving his lotus feet, and Ananta Dev singing his glories, Lord Chaitanya made it very clear, as he was telling all the devotees, that Nara, that's the name he would use for Advaita, has come, but he's hiding in Advaitacharya's house to test, to see if I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who he's been calling all these years to descend. And then, when Advaita heard at Nandanacharya's house that what Lord Gauranga had said, he was thinking that his mission was fulfilled. He wanted to establish that Sri Gauranga is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna come to answer his prayers. Now the Lord had stated it himself, and Sri Advaita's desires were completely fulfilled. And when he gazed upon the form of Nimai at Shriva Sangam, everything was just engulfed in transcendental radiance. And he saw Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Shukadeva Goswami, Ganga Devi. The sky was filled, the earth was filled, as far as you could see in all directions, with demigods and celestial personalities and nagas all offering their prayers to Lord Gauranga. And Lord Gauranga spoke, "I was sleeping in the milk ocean when your loud cries and calls and prayers awakened me to bring me down. Because you, Advaita, were unable to bear seeing the suffering of the conditioned souls in this world, you brought me down. Now offer your prayers." And Sri Advaita's first prayer was Namo Brahmani Devaya Go Brahmani Hitaya Cha Jagadhitaya Krishnaya Go Vandaya Namo Namaha. Now Advaitacharya had also challenged in his very deep an eccentric way, Ramaya Pandit. How will I know? How will I believe that he is the Lord? When Ramaya Pandit said, the Lord is, how will I believe he is the Lord? Where is it stated that the Lord appears in Navadvip? Where is it stated in the scripture that he comes down and mingles with us human beings? That was Advaita's challenge to Ramaya, but Ramaya was very wise by his devotional service, and he induced Advaita to come. So then, and he also said, when he places his lotus feet upon my head, then I will know that the Lord I've been calling for all these years has been here for
what, 20 years already, living practically next door. So the Lord, he raised his feet and placed them on the head of Advaitacharya. And then he said, "Now, Advaita, I want to see you dance." And Advaita began dancing. First, sometimes very gracefully, sometimes very playfully, just rolling on the ground, sometimes placing straw in his teeth. And Lord Chaitanya put his own garland on Advaitacharya and said, "I have come because of your prayers now, and I'm very pleased with you. Ask a benediction." And first Advaita just kept repeating that, "Everything I've ever desired, everything I've ever longed for, yearned for, has just transpired before my very eyes because I'm seeing you." And Lord Chaitanya kept insisting, "No, you must accept one benediction. No, 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 seeing you, all my desires are fulfilled. One benediction you must." And then Advaitacharya presented his plea that when you begin distributing devotional service, you give it to everyone, the women, the shudras, the lowly, the fools, the everyone, you give them your mercy. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with that prayer. And Tathashta, he blessed to fulfill it. And then Advaitacharya added a second part to his prayer. Those who are proud because of their high birth or their austerities or their learning or their tapasya, and because of their pride and ego, they try to impede the devotees from spreading this Nam Sankirtan movement, let them burn in the fire of their own envy, and let everyone else go on very jubilantly chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. One day, Sachimata revealed her heart to her beloved son. "Last night I had a dream. In that dream, I saw Nityananda and yourself go into our temple room. And you took the deity of Balaram off the altar, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu took the deity of Krishna off the altar. And you started eating their sweets, and they were taking the sweets out of your hands. And Lord Balaram turned to Nityananda and said, 'What are you doing? My Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Absolute Truth. He is the All-Powerful. What right do you have to take him off the altar?' And Nityananda Prabhu replied to Balaram that your days as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan are gone. Now my Lord has come as a Brahmin in Navadvip as Lord Gauranga.
Balaram said to Nityananda Prabhu that if I tie you up, if I tie you up and punish you, there will be no offense. Because I am the servant of Krishna, and he will give me all power and permission to do so. And Nityananda Prabhu replied, I have no fear of you or your Krishna, because my Lord is Vishwambar Sri Gauranga. And Sachimata said, and then, after this verbal argument, I saw that you were taking the sweets from their hands, and Krishna Balaram was taking the sweets from your hands, and you were fighting over the sweets. And then Nityananda cried, Mother Sachi, feed me. And then I woke up. Lord Vishwambar told his mother, this is a very good dream, but please do not tell anyone about this dream. This solves a problem that I had in my mind. Now I know for sure that our deities are actually eating the offerings. Because I was seeing over the days that we would make an offer to Krishna Balaram and there would be less there when we took the deities, when we took the bhoga off. He said, I was thinking that your daughter-in-law was taking the prasad. And Vishnupriya was listening from a distance and smiling when she heard this. Srila Prabhupada said that was the only joke he ever told to his wife. And then Lord Chaitanya said, I will bring Nityananda Prabhu. You cook prasad. I will bring him here. So Sachimata was very happy and she went in the kitchen and she cooked nice offering. And Lord Chaitanya went to Nityananda Prabhu and said, come, Sachimata is cooking for you, but behave yourself properly. Do not do mischief. And Nityananda Prabhu looked at him very gravely and said, what are you saying to me? I never do mischief. I always behave properly. You're saying this because you think that I'm like you. But then Nityananda was in so much ecstasy, all his clothes fell off. So Lord Chaitanya had to dress him. And he brought him to the house. And Gadadhar Pandit and other devotees assembled. And they all sat down. And Mother Sachi came and served them nice prasad. And she went back into the kitchen to bring the next course with her pots in hand to serve them. And there she saw, instead of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda sitting there, she saw 2 5-year-old children. One had a complexion like a tamal tree, and the other had a complexion like a white spring cloud. And each of them had 4 arms with the 4 symbols. And each of them had Kastuba Mani on their chest. And they were so beautiful, so beautiful. She saw the darshan of Krishna Balaram as little tiny children. And Sachimata, her eyes filled with tears. And in ecstasy, she just made one big sigh and fell to the ground unconscious. And the pot she had just spilled over everywhere. Lord Chaitanya immediately jumped up, washed his hands, and picked his mother up and said, what happened? What happened? What did you see? And Sachimata did not say a word. She re-knotted her hair that became undone. She put her sari over her head and she went into her room without speaking anything. And in her room, she simply wept in motherly love for Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And in the meanwhile, Ishan, her servant, picked up all the prasad that was on the floor. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, every day Ishan was seeing these miraculous pastimes of love of Sachimata. Who in the 14 worlds could be more fortunate than Ishan, the personal servant of Sachi Devi, who was witnessing her ecstatic love and her assisting her in her service day and night. Just at about this time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gathered his devotees together and made a request. He said, we are spending our days doing Harinam Sankirtan and having Harikatha, but half our lives are being wasted. What are we doing at night? Why should we waste any time of this precious human form of life? Every moment is so valuable. Wasting our nights sleeping? From today on, all night, every night for the next year, we will do nothing but Nam Sankirtan. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to all the devotees and explained for all devotees for all time to come how this is possible. Lord Chaitanya told that if we want to chant the holy names constantly, these are the qualities we must live by. Trinadapi sunichena tador ibasi hishnuna. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. We should offer all respect to others and expect none for oneself. In this spirit, we could chant the name of the Lord constantly. In Srivasangam, sometimes at the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, they performed all-night kirtan. And the mood of those kirtans were such that they dreaded the rising of the sun. Because they would have to take a break for some time. Absorbed. And in those kirtans, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was generally in the mood of a devotee. He would take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas and put it on his head. He would be eager to render humble services to all the devotees. He chanted and danced with the devotees as one of them in ecstatic love. But on certain special occasions, to fulfill the desires of the devotees, in his own ecstasy, he entered into the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he sat on the throne of Vishnu and accepted the offerings of his devotees and manifested just the forms that the devotees worshipped. During the Nam Kirtan at Srivasangam, the Lord would sometimes manifest his threefold bending form of Krishna. And everyone could hear him playing his flute. They would see Vrindavan Dham manifest in Srivasangam as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his supreme identity. And one day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to Srivasangam, and immediately he sat on the throne. Sometimes in the past, he would lean on Nityananda Prabhu in his mood of Vishnu and put his feet out, and everyone would put their heads on the Lord's feet. But then the next moment, he would be getting the dust from their feet. But on this particular day, he went straight to the throne of Vishnu and sat down. And this was to begin the Sat Praharya Leela, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his supreme opulences just according to his devotees' innermost desires for 21 hours in the house of Srivas. His Holiness Barsana Swami Maharaj will now describe this beautiful pastime.
There was actually a number of times when the Lord would sit on the Shalagram's throne, and afterwards he would act as if he was unaware of what he had done, and he would ask the devotees very fearfully, did I do anything wrong, or did I say anything offensive or abnormal? And Srivas finally got onto this, and he said, actually, what you do at those times is normal. What you do at other times is abnormal. Meaning that when you reveal yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's quite normal. But when you come out of that mood and are acting as the humble servant of all of us, that is an unusual condition for you. So, just before the Mahaprakash, there was actually a display of his divine opulences. When the Lord, it was more intentional than before, but not quite as intentional as the Mahaprakash. When the Lord went up to Shalagram Shila's throne, took the Shalagrams off, put them in his lap, and he sat down. But he was too heavy for the throne. It began to crack and break. So Lord Nityananda quickly held the throne because he's an Antashesh and fortified it by his touch. And then Lord Chaitanya did an unusual thing. He stopped the kirtan. And he proclaimed that I am Krishna, the master of the countless universes, whose name you are singing. All of you have descended with me, and whatever offerings you make to the deities are actually meant for me. So now, just offer everything you have directly to me. And the devotees took all their bhoga, all their milk and cream and butter and yogurt and sweets and cakes and everything, and offered to the Lord, and within an eye blink, he ate what 200 men could not consume. And then he said, is there anything more? And they gave him some betel nut. And eating that, he fell down unconscious. And there was no sign of life left in his body. And then the devotees, it appeared as if he had left them. And waiting to see if life returned, they decided amongst themselves that if he abandons us, we too will die. But then, knowing the devotees' thoughts, the Lord returned. Shortly thereafter was the actual full-fledged Mahaprakash. When the Lord very consciously sat on the throne of Lord Vishnu and revealed himself to each devotee in the very specific form which they desired to see. And at that point, Vrindavan Das Thakur gives a little background of Kolavet Sridhar, who was one of the main recipients of mercy at the Mahaprakash. So to give some background information, Kulavet Sridhar was a cowherd boy from Goloka. And he made a living by growing banana trees and selling every part. But he had the best prices anywhere in town because he did not want to waste any time. So he would not barter, or he would not engage in barter with anyone. He just set the lowest prices of any merchant. And people who knew this came and purchased from him. And he made just enough to maintain his life, because half of what he earned he used to worship Mother Ganges. So every day, Nimai would come to the market of where Kulavet Sridhar had his stall, and he'd grab a bunch of bananas and say, "How much for these?" And he'd quote the lowest price. "What? So much? Why are you cheating the brahmanas?" He said, "That's the best price anywhere in town. Just ask around, you'll find it." "No, you're cheating." And this went on for years. And Kulavet Sridhar, and sometimes, you know, Nimai would just grab the bananas and give him half the price. And Kulavet Sridhar was very disturbed, because he was thinking, if you don't give the proper price, then how will I be able to worship Mother Ganges? And Nimai would say, "Don't you know? I am the source of the Ganges." "You go, what? Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu." Most people become a little bit more sober and humble as they mature, but it seems like you're getting more arrogant every day. So then he just give him whatever he wanted. He couldn't deal with these assaults. So finally one day, Kulavet Sridhar just asked, "Why are you harassing me so much?" And Lord Gauranga said, "Because you have a great treasure in your house. So it's just pretense that you act as such a poverty-stricken soul, because you have a great treasure. And one day I'm going to expose your treasure and reveal your actual nature to the world." So part of this transpired at the Mahaprakash. When the Lord sat on the throne of Vishnu and revealed his divine opulences, he called for Kulavet Sridhar. And the devotees didn't know who he was. And they said, "Just go to the outskirts of town and listen for someone chanting with great devotion and feeling." So the devotees followed that instruction, and they heard someone chanting and went and told Kulavet Sridhar that the Lord is calling you. "The Lord is calling me?" And he just fell unconscious. They had to pick him up and carry him to Srila Sangam. And then the Lord called Sridhar, and he came too. And when he looked upon that form of Nimai, he was no longer Nimai standing before him, but it was Krishna and Balaram. And at their lotus feet was serving Lakshmi and Brahma and Shiva and Narada Muni and Shukadeva Goswami were offering their prayers. And then the Lord told Kulavet Sridhar, "I want to hear your prayers." And Kulavet Sridhar said, "I'm just a simple banana wala. How can I offer you prayers?" And then by the Lord's order, Goddess Saraswati appeared on his tongue, and he began to glorify. "All glory is to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is concealed, whose glories are concealed from the Vedas, who has been wandering around Navadvip Dham as this mischievous frivolous Brahmin boy, and no one understood who you are, because without your mercy, no one can understand you. You are Brahma, you are Shiva, you are the Veda, you are faith, you are mercy, you are all good qualities. In the past, you made Gokula glorious by your appearance there, and now you are making Navadvipa glorious by your return here. You were that personality who Bhishma defeated by dint of his devotional service, who Jashoda bound by her love, who Sudama, no, you carried Sudama on your shoulders, and this is very wonderful, because although the limitless universes all sing your praise and glory, you carry Sri Dhamma on your shoulders, because you are conquered by love. So, Kolabat Sridhar recited very eloquent prayers which made all the devotees very enlivened. And after that, when Lord Gauranga declared that I want to offer you some benediction, he simply requested that may that Brahmin who came and quarreled with me all these years come to me birth after birth, because I am yours and I am your servant. And the Lord told him that I will not argue with you this time, but I will grant you pure devotional service because that is your desire. And when the devotees heard the Lord's benediction upon Kolabat Sridhar, that he would receive pure devotional service, they all became very happy. And then the Lord called Murari Gupta. Now, Murari Gupta also had a very interesting history in relationship with the Lord, because Murari Gupta was about 20 years senior in age to Lord Gauranga. But they were classmates. And even though Murari Gupta was 20 years senior, the professor was Nimai in the school. And Nimai would always harass Murari Gupta like anything, more than anyone. He would just always harass him. What, Murari, you're a Vaidya, an Ayurvedic physician. What are you doing in my academy? What are you going to learn about mucus, bile, and air by studying Sanskrit grammar? And what the Lord was doing was trying to make Murari angry. He wanted to see his anger. But whenever Murari would turn and look at the Lord, he would just melt. He could not get angry with the Lord, no matter what the Lord did. So, during the Mahaprakash, when he called for Murari, he said, "Look upon me." And when Murari looked upon the altar where Lord Gauranga was sitting on the throne of Lord Vishnu, there was no Lord Gauranga. There was Ram and Lakshman and Sita and monkey soldiers and monkey chieftains offering their prayers. And Murari saw his own self in the form of Hanuman, and he just fainted. He fell down crying. And by the Lord's touch, he came back to consciousness. And the Lord said, "All this time, you did not know who I was? Look, here's Lakshman. Remember how you saved his life by bringing that Gadamadana mountain? Look, here's Sita, whose sorrow moved you to tears."
all this time you did not know I am your Lord Ram, and you are my eternal Hanuman. And then Murari just fell down crying. And hearing his crying, even dry wood would weep. And when the Lord asked him what benediction he desired, he asked only that I can always sing your glories, birth after birth. I want to take birth amongst your devotees. Whenever and wherever you descend, I want to be there to sing your glories. And the Lord said, secretly, the Lord resides in the heart of Murari, and therefore his name, Murari Gupta, the Lord secretly residing in his heart, is appropriate. And then he announced that if anyone ever criticizes Murari Gupta, he cannot be saved by his chanting of the holy name or his bath in the Ganges or any such means. So during the Mahaprakash, each and every devotee was awarded the darshan of the Lord of their heart, and all their desires were fulfilled. Not so long after this episode was the deliverance of Jaghai and Madhai, which is a very wonderful pastime. Because Jaghai and Madhai were previously Jai and Vijay, who, when faced with the choice of taking 7 births as devotees or 3 births as demons, decided that rather than stay away from the Lord's service any longer than necessary, they would take birth as demons to return as quickly as possible to the spiritual world. So they were cursed to take birth as the 6 archetypal demons of Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya, in the form of Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Kumbhakarna, Ravana, Dantavakra, and Shishupal, who each personify one of the major categories of anartha, lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy. And these demons were so powerful that nothing could control them. No kshatriya, no force of material nature. Only the Lord himself could subdue these demons. And this is very illustrating in terms of the anarthas within our hearts. When these demons all combined into one form of Jaghai, who had a twin brother who was even worse, named Madhai. And they performed every sinful activity imaginable. And when the Lord told Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda to go out and preach, very shortly, they approached Jaghai and Madhai. And they asked them what they asked everyone. Bolo Krishna Bhaja Krishna Krishna Kodo Siksha Krishna Mata Krishna Pita Krishna Pranadan. Which just enraged the two brothers who assaulted and tried to kill Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. So they had to run for their lives. Haridas Thakur at this time was very elderly, and Lord Nityananda was just pulling him as Jaghai and Madhai were running quickly behind to kill them.
And while they were running, fleeing for their lives, Haridas Thakur was telling Lord Nityananda that of all the innocent, simple people to preach to in Nadia, why did you have to choose these two? Because we're about to lose our lives. But Lord Nityananda said, you've been through that before. But Haridas Thakur said, when I was being assailed by the Muslim executioners, I was protected by Krishna. But today, because of your foolishness, it appears that we are about to lose our lives. So then, they were able to escape and come before the Lord because they were supposed to report on their preaching every day. And when they informed the Lord that today we met two very unusual personalities, and who were they? Jagai and Madhai. And then the devotees explained to Lord Gauranga that they were born in good Brahmin families, but by bad association, they became very demoniac. And there is no sin imaginable that they have not performed. And then Lord Chaitanya said, oh yeah, I know Jagai and Madhai. If they ever come in my path, I will chop them to pieces. And hearing that, Lord Nityananda began to cry. He said, it's not a very great thing for you to declare that you can chop them into pieces. But as long as Jagai and Madhai are not redeemed, I will not go anywhere else for preaching. Because unless they become devotees, your name, your epithet, Patita Pavana, will not be fulfilled. So then Lord Chaitanya said, simply because they've seen you, they're already delivered. So after that, Lord Nityananda did not have a preaching partner, because Haridas Thakur, he said right before Lord Chaitanya that I haven't said anything before today, but you don't know what transpires trying to preach with Lord Nityananda when he sees these man-eating alligators in the Ganges. He jumps in and starts playing with them, and sometimes he'll just climb on a wandering bull and proclaim that I am a Shankara. Or he'll take all the milk from a cow, and the milkman comes to capture the thief. He runs away, and I get caught. And he proclaims to all the unmarried girls that you should marry me. This is not the proper behavior for a sannyasi. And I've kept this within my heart all along. But today, because he decided to approach these two, Jagai and Madhai, we nearly lost our lives. So even if you order me to continue preaching with him, I cannot go. So Lord Nityananda had to go out preaching alone thereafter. And where did he go? Wandering right through the camp of Jagai and Madhai. But that was just after Jagai and Madhai had set up camp near Srivasangam, and they had heard the kirtans, and they thought that was very nice music, and they began to dance to the sound of the kirtan. And then in the middle of the night, when Nitai came wandering through, and they asked, who's that? And he replied in his typical, very childlike, simple, humble fashion, they call me Avadut. They realize that's him. And Madhai, still in a rage from their previous encounter, took the earthen pot and smashed it on the head of Lord Nityananda. And when word reached Lord Gauranga that they're killing Nitai, that was the first time that the kirtan really went out into the streets. And when Lord Chaitanya appeared before Jagai and Madhai, and he saw what they had done to Lord Nityananda, he assumed his Vishnu form, the Sudarshan Chakra, in his hands, just ready to sever the offenders' heads from their bodies. And then when Madhai saw, actually Jagai first, surrendered at the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga and took his lotus feet upon his heart. And Lord Gauranga told Jagai that, as he was pleading for mercy, that may you receive love for Krishna. And then by the touch of Lord Gauranga, Jagai became infused with ecstatic love for Krishna. And Madhai also fell at the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga, praying like his brother. But Lord Gauranga just backed off and said, "For you, there is no deliverance." I said, "But why, my lord? Jagai and myself, we've been accomplices in everything. There's nothing that one of us has done that the other hasn't also. And Lord Gauranga said, "There is one thing. You have committed offense to Lord Nityananda, and therefore there is nothing I can do to deliver you." And then Madhai became quite hopeless. He felt quite hopeless. And he prayed to Lord Gauranga that, "Before you cast me off, is there ever any way or ever any hope for my deliverance?" And Lord Chaitanya replied, he said, "Only by the mercy of Lord Nityananda." So then Madhai fell at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, clasping those lotus feet and praying for mercy. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Look, Nitai, he's surrendering to you." And Lord Nityananda said, "My Lord, if there's any merits in the activities of my previous birth, please confer them all upon Madhai." And Lord Chaitanya said, "If you forgive him for his offense, then he can be delivered." So because he was forgiven by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Madhai was also able to receive ecstatic love for Krishna after seeing the form of Lord Vishnu with Sudarshan Chakra just ready to sever his head. So sometimes Lord Gauranga is in the mood of Krishna. Sometimes he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Sometimes he's the Ishvara. Sometimes he's the devotee. And as his Madhya Lila progressed from this point, he was becoming very immersed in the mood of love for the Brijavasis. And one day he was calling the names of the gopis. And when some students questioned and chastised, "Why are you chanting the names of the gopis? What benefit is there in chanting the names of the gopis? You should just chant the name of Krishna." And Lord Gauranga became very angry. He said, "Don't tell me to chant the holy name of Krishna. Krishna's a cheater. He's a liar. He's a debauchee." And he began chastising. He explained how Krishna, in his previous
birth, he attracted a beautiful lady, and then he cut off her nose and ears. And then when he confronted Bali, rather than acting as a Kshatriya should, he killed him like a hunter, hiding behind a tree. So Krishna's a cheater and a debauchee, and don't tell me to chant the name of Krishna. So he's chastising as he's running after the student in a very ferocious mood. And this student was just a little pundit with this huge form of Lord Gauranga chasing behind, chastising him. And when he told the other students, they said that if he dares to insult us like this, we will have to take serious measures. And then Lord Chaitanya began to contemplate that the nectar that I've offered has turned into poison because of their blasphemies. He said, if those who are criticizing me now will find me in the garb of a sannyasi, as a beggar, that will change their attitude. So he told Lord Nityananda and Mukunda and Gadadhar of his plan to take sannyas. And at that time, Mother Sachi heard of the Lord's desire, and she asked him, how can you leave me after I've already been left by my husband and by my son, Vishwarup, and you're all that I have left? So how can you leave me? And then Lord Gauranga began to explain the truth to Mother Sachi, her own glories. He said, when you were Prishni, I was your son, Prishni Garbha. When you were Aditi, I was your son, Vamana. When you were Devahuti, I was your son, Kapila. When you were Kaushalya, I was your son, Ram. When you were Devaki, I was your son, Krishna. And now, in this incarnation, you are my mother in two ways. You are the mother of my deity form as the earth goddess. And you are the mother of the holy name in the form of the devotees' tongues. You are my mother eternally in every birth. And this is the truth. So then the Lord told Mother Sachi his own rendition, a very beautiful version of the story of Dhruva Maharaj, and how he took his mother back to Godhead with him. So Mother Sachi became very happy when she heard that when Dhruva Maharaj went back to Godhead, he was sure that his mother was allowed to go with him. And she said, well, if you're going to take sannyas, I can also shave my head and wear an earring and wear saffron cloth and go with you. And he said, no, that's not the proper purport to glean from the story of Dhruva Maharaj. And then he told her, mother, why are you so attached to these false designations? Who is son? Who is father? Who is mother? Our only shelter is Krishna. He is
the mother. He said, in every life we have a mother and father, but it is most rare that we can attain the shelter of Guru and Krishna. And he explained how human life is meant for self-realization. And by his preaching, Mother Sati was able to see all living entities equally. And at that point, she realized that her son was Krishna. And he revealed himself to her as Krishna, playing his flute. And Navadvip Dham became Vrindavan before the eyes of Mother Sati. She realized, my son is Krishna, and no one controls him. But still, she could not give up her attachment. So thereafter, the Lord took sannyas, and by the request of Mother Sati, he made his headquarters Jagannath Puri. And there, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj will explain to us, he's revealing his Sadbhuja form to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
Are you tired and hungry? Even if you are, that's very nice. For Krishna, we are happy to be tired and hungry. We have discussed Sri Navadvip Leela, and this evening, after the Abhishekam, we will continue with Jagannath Puri Leela. To conclude this morning's class, we request His Holiness Kavichandra Swami Maharaj to speak to us, and then we will have a chance to practice the Yuga Dharma of chanting and dancing in Sankirtan for the pleasure of Nitai Gaura Chandra.
I was going to say we should stand up. Krishnadas Kaviraj said that these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are unlimited, and even if Ananta Shesha with unlimited mouths, you know, is describing them, and no mouth ever repeats the same one as another one, there's no end to it. And we see that. We've heard these things many times, but there's always something new and fresh. They're unlimited leelas. And we see the blissful relationships and intimacy that Lord Chaitanya had with his devotees. And this deity of Lord Chaitanya that we worship is the same Lord Chaitanya, the same Lord Nityananda that Mother Sati was cooking for and taking care of, and that all the devotees were dancing with and having all these different relationships. So as we meditate on these, we can also, we're different, but we can get more and more purified and hopefully become mad after hearing these things constantly. And distributing and giving it to everyone, always seeing everything. And we have so many relationships amongst ourselves, and Krishna's in everyone's heart. And this way we develop our, by relating with each other, being friends with each other, by helping each other, teaching each other, then we develop more and more our relationship with Krishna also. So I came here every year, I came many years, and I somehow missed the morning class, so this year I was very fortunate to hear all this, and hear the first time from His Holiness Varshana Maharaj, very deep realizations of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. So the Leela, the main thing, of course, that they did more than anything else was the Yuga Dharma, the Harinam Sankirtan, right? So everybody is probably needs a little exercise. They can stand up. Can you, maybe your legs have gone dead, I don't know. Can see if you can, if someone can't stand up, you can help them. Stretch a little bit. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. All right. Kirtan. Hands in the air. This is no problem here. Try to remember the descriptions of the kirtans at Srivas's house. And this is another chapter, the kirtans at Chopati. Radha Gopinath kirtans. Sri